It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Last week we continued our history of the Israel people being driven out of ancient Palestine into the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities in the century before Christ. We read some of the warnings by the prophets that this would happen to them and discussed the fact that most of them never did return to Palestine, but migrated northward and westward into the Mediterranean and to the continent of Europe. It was these people who were the ancestors of the modern Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Europe and America. I know this teaching is new to many of my radio listeners. I also know it is denied by a majority of the Christian preachers in America today. But as we have seen, the theory that the present day less than 20 million Jews are all of Israel simply does not answer scores of unanswered questions about Israel today. It was Israel who was to be multiplied in great numbers and blessed above all other peoples. Israel was God's chosen race. Israel was to be God's servant and his witnesses, his battle axe and his weapons of war. It was to Israel that Jesus was to come, and it was to be upon Israel that God was to pour out his Spirit. None of these prophecies, nor any of a score of others, have ever been fulfilled in the people called Jews, and so confusion is piled on confusion with such teaching. Let me repeat briefly some of what we have covered, then I will offer our free literature for the month of May, and then we will go on in history and the New Testament to help find the truth about dispersed Israel at the time of Christ and shortly thereafter. First, I stated that 15 to 20 million Jews today cannot possibly be all of Israel unless God's promise of multiplying the seed of Abraham has never been kept at all. Bible scholars estimate Israel numbered between 2 and 3 million when they left Egypt under Moses over 3 millenniums ago. The Bible tells us that almost 1,000 years before Jesus was born, David had 1.5 million men in his military service. That would mean a population of at least 10 million Israelites, possibly as many as 15 million. Then came the carrying out of Israel out of old Palestine, 700 years before Christ, by the Assyrians as recorded in 2 Kings 16:17 and 18, and another removal, 500 years before Christ, this time of the Judahites, by the Babylonians. By that time, Israel should have numbered at least 30 million, perhaps more, and yet the Bible records only a little over 49,000 of them returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, and the Bible has no record at all, let me repeat that, the Bible has no record at all of any Israelites from the Assyrian captivity returning to Jerusalem or Palestine before Jesus. So, logic forces us to accept that tens of millions of Israelites existed someplace other than Palestine at the time Jesus was born. And if our reasonable estimate of 30 million in 500 B.C. is anywhere near correct, then we would have to estimate the number of Israelites alive upon the earth when Jesus was born would be upwards of 50 million, possibly more. Obviously, Palestine at the time of Christ had no population anywhere near that, as we can tell from the Bible account and from secular history. Jerusalem itself and Damascus were cities of probably less than 50,000 people. They were large cities for their day, but small in comparison to some of the cities of the world today. One well-known historian who lived at the time of Christ was Josephus, and he wrote voluminous histories which have been preserved and reprinted all down through the last 2,000 years. He wrote that at his time the dispersed Israelites were beyond the river Euphrates and not to be estimated in numbers. If some of my radio listeners are wondering why this pastor is spending so much time on this subject and trying to make it simple and plain for all to understand, there are two major reasons. Number one, so you will see and believe that God keeps His promises. One of the promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was repeated over and over in the book of Genesis, was the promise to multiply the number of their descendants very greatly. Genesis 13:16, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Genesis 15:5, God said to Abram, look now toward heaven and tell, or number, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. It was this very promise of multiplication of Abraham's seed which Abraham believed, and we read in the very next verse, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 17, verse 4, to Abraham, thou shalt be a father of many nations, or as the margin says, a multitude of nations. Verse 6, I will make nations of thee. Genesis 22:17 to Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. This promise was repeated to Isaac and to Jacob in succeeding chapters, including prophecy on Isaac's wife Rebekah in Genesis 24, verse 60, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Now we come along 4,000 years later, and we say, oh, see, Abraham's seed number only 15 million people called Jews. If God promised to multiply Israel, and he had already multiplied them to 10 million or more by the time of David, it is almost blasphemy for us to teach that the number only a little more today. I wonder how many realize that when they insist that literally no increase in the number of Israelites has taken place for 3,000 years, that they are calling into question the very promise and oath of God Almighty. The second reason I am spending so much time on bringing out who the true descendants of the race of Israel are is that Christians cannot understand the relationship of Bible prophecy to history unless they know who the people of Israel are. Even the claim by some prophecy preachers that prophecy is being fulfilled because the Jews are going back to Palestine is now being brought into question for the simple reason that Jews are leaving Palestine faster than they are going there. The great so-called return of the Jews to Palestine is simply not taking place, even though the ministers have insisted for 25 years that it is. Hal Lindsey, author of The Late Great Planet Earth, was on the Merv Griffin TV show some months ago, and he said his whole theory in his book that we were near the time for the rapture was based on the Jews going back to Palestine. Lindsey said that the return of the Jews was a sign to Christians to be ready for the rapture. Well, now Hal Lindsey will have to look for some other sign, because not only are the Jews not returning to Palestine, many who were born there are leaving Palestine and coming to America and to Western Europe. In fact, the Jewish Immigrant Society admits that about one-third of all Jews who leave Russia and go to Palestine stay but for a short time and then go back to Russia. I wonder how they explain that one. All right, now for our free literature for our radio listeners for May, and then we will continue with our study of the Bible and of history. Ask for the May packet. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The major item in this month's packet is a 56-page book of mine titled Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. In that book, I not only prove from the Bible and history that Paul and the other disciples took the gospel of Jesus Christ only to the European race, but I show why, that these Europeans were Israelites. I know modern theory is that they went to a non-Israelite people called Gentiles, but the Greek word translated Gentiles in the King James Bible is ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, and if you will ask any Greek acquaintance what the word ethnos means, and he will immediately reply, nations. Abraham was to be a father of many nations. In Genesis 49, we find that Israel was to be many nations. All in the world, these ethnos, or Gentiles were the Israelite nations. I'll demonstrate that to your satisfaction as we go on. Don't turn me off. Study with me. And I think on the rest of this broadcast and the next one or two, I will follow the book, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, rather closely. So if you write now and get that book, you will have, in print, substantially what you will hear on these radio broadcasts. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. You'll receive several other things, including our list of literature, and we have several articles on another subject, which you can then write for, on the swine flu vaccinations and on other vaccinations. You Christian people should have these and read these before you allow your children to be vaccinated by the government for these so-called childhood diseases. The vaccine which will be given to your children is recommended by the same government doctors who concocted the swine flu hoax and the swine flu vaccine, which has injured, paralyzed, or killed unknown numbers of Americans in the winter of 1976 and the spring of 1977. Our books have medical and statistical information, which proves beyond doubt that most vaccinations, rather than ending diseases, may be one of the major causes of disease in America today. Remember, just like bankers make money only when you are in debt and therefore can be expected to try to keep you in debt, so do doctors make money only when you are ill. So don't get your hopes up too high that the medical profession would try to keep the nation healthy. It doesn't make economic sense, and if the Bible is right, it doesn't fit what we know of human nature. It is somewhat like the Dental Association's recommendations for fluoridation of the water supplies to end tooth cavities. If fluoridation really ended cavities, they would be putting themselves right out of work. Communist Russia has fluoridated its public water system for 40 years. Take a look at middle-aged people in Russian photos. If they are smiling, you'll see they are missing all or most of their teeth. and they have been drinking fluoridated water most of their lives. You write and get our literature before you accept any doctor or any government-sponsored vaccinations for yourself or your children. Just write and ask for the May Packet. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And when you write, please print your name and address to make it easier for our mailroom to send you the literature. All right, now we'll follow the format of my book on Paul and Joseph, first to establish that they did both go not only to the Mediterranean areas such as Greece and Rome, but also to Spain, to what is now called France, it was called Galatia then, and Gaul later, and to the British Isles, all in the few years following Jesus' death and resurrection, as they took the gospel of Jesus Christ to these so-called Gentiles. They established churches in all of these areas and began the preaching that Christianized Western Europe and set the stage for England and Ireland to become the early Christian and missionary centers of the world. Much of what you will hear in the next few broadcasts is of events transpiring at the beginning of what we know as the Christian religion. These are of people and teachings that literally turned the world upside down, yet are little known in the modern church today. A well-known American recently made the observation that we are the best informed people in the world about the happenings of the last 24 hours, but that we know very little of the people and events of 1,000 years ago, or even a few hundred. Since Paul is one of the central figures in the drama of early Christianity, we will first establish some known facts and dates about him before we consider the others. Haley's Bible Handbook, published by Zondervan Publishing Company, has this to say about the Apostle Paul after he was taken to Rome in bonds. Quote, "It is generally accepted that Paul was acquitted about A.D. 63 or 64. Whether he went on to Spain as he had planned, Romans 15:24 through 28, is not known. Tradition intimates that he did, but if he did, he did not remain long. It seems fairly certain that he was back in Greece and Asia Minor about A.D. 65 to 67, in which he wrote the epistles to Timothy and Titus. Then rearrested, he was taken to Rome and beheaded about A.D. 67, end of quote. Haley mentions Romans 15:28, in which Paul writes to the Romans, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." Paul wrote this in the winter of A.D. 57-58 from Corinth, and it is obvious he planned a trip to Spain. Haley and other modern sources say only that tradition says Paul went on to Spain, but Haley does not mention any source for the tradition, so I shall. In the Turkish archives in Constantinople, there is a manuscript copy of the Acts of the Apostles. It has one more chapter than the book of Acts in our English Bible, and it is seldom mentioned by the modern church. Perhaps they ignore it because it not only tells of Paul going to Spain, but also on to the British Isles. I will quote a few verses here, and we did reprint the entire so-called lost chapter of Acts in my book, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. Part of it reads thusly, "And no man hindered Paul, for he had testified boldly of Jesus before tribunes and among the people, and they took shipping at Ostium, and having winds fair, were brought safely into an haven of Spain. And much people were gathered together from the towns and villages and the hill country, for they had heard of the conversion of the apostle, and the many miracles which he had wrought, And Paul preached mightily in Spain, and great multitudes believed and were converted, for they perceived he was an apostle sent from God. End of quote. From that portion of that lost chapter of Acts. Christ had told Paul in Acts 22, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles or unto the nations, and had told all of the apostles in Acts 1 and verse 8 that they were to witness unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now that area would include territories beyond Greece and Rome should be obvious. Travel was not the problem at that time that it could have been 1,000 years later. All of the southern and western part of the European continent was under one government, that of Rome. A system of roads protected by Roman soldiers provided safe passage over land, and Roman warships patrolled the 1,000-year-old sea routes between Rome, Spain, and the Britannic Isles. We 20th-century people forget that travel in Europe in A.D. 50 was perhaps as fast and as comfortable as it was in the time of Luther 1,400 years later. That Paul carried the word to Spain, then into Gaul, and on to Britain is testified by many early church historians. Bishop Burgess wrote, quote, of St. Paul's journey to Britain we have as satisfactory proof as any historical question can demand, end of quote. This same view is repeated in the writings of Baronius, Alford, Archbishop Parker and Usher, and other church authorities. In A.D. 600, Venantius Fortunatus wrote of Britain as having been, quote, evangelized by St. Paul. In A.D. 435, Theodoretus wrote, quote, Paul, liberated from his first captivity at Rome, preached the gospel to Britons and others in the West. Our fishermen and publicans, meaning the disciples, not only persuaded the Romans and their tributaries to acknowledge the crucified and his laws, but the Britons and also the Cimbri. He also wrote in a commentary on 2 Timothy 4:6, quote, when Paul was sent by Festus on his appeal to Rome, he traveled, after being acquitted, into Spain, and thence extended his excursions into other countries and to the islands surrounded by the sea. End of quote. That last phrase could refer only to the British Isles. And this is no obscure minister preaching, but Theodoretus was the bishop of Hierapolis and a participant in the general council at Ephesus in A.D. 431, and in Chalcedon in A.D. 451, where there were 600 bishops from all of Europe. Eusebius, bishop of Caesarea, wrote in A.D. 320, quote, the apostles passed beyond the ocean to the isles called the Britannic Isles. Clement of Rome, who is mentioned in Philippians 4 and verse 3, wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, between A.D. 91 and A.D. 100, in which he stated that Paul, quote, went to the end of the West. Publius Disciples, a Roman church historian, wrote, quote, the church of Avalon in Britain, no other hands than those of the disciples of our Lord themselves built. Bishop Usher wrote of the early church in Britain, quote, the mother church of the British Isles is the church in Insula Avalonia, called by the Saxons Glastonbury, and Bishop Fuller wrote of Glastonbury, if credit be given to ancient authors, this church of Glastonbury is the senior church of the world. Now, let me repeat that. According to these historians, the church in Britain at Glastonbury is probably the first Christian church founded in all of the world, founded there before Paul went to Rome. Sir Henry Spillman wrote, quote, it is certain that Britain received the faith in the first age from the first source of the word. And Capellus, in his History of the Apostles, wrote, quote, I scarcely know of one author from the time of the fathers downward who does not maintain that Paul, after his liberation, preached in Western Europe, Britain included. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. It may seem a shame that a preacher has to take expensive radio time to teach the history of our race and of our religion, but it must be done. We have been so lied to and so deceived and so confused by those who should have been telling us the truth that we have lost our roots. We know not from whence we came, and most know not where they are bound. The very fact that the disciples of Jesus Christ, the God and Redeemer of Israel, spent their whole lives preaching to only one race of people, the race of our ancestors of Europe, is hardly known by our people today, and even when they do hear it, their knowledge of history and prophecy is so limited that they do not see how significant it might be. Next week, God willing, we'll be talking about Joseph of Arimathea, the man who buried the body of Jesus in his own tomb, for he it was who founded the church at Glastonbury, England, the first Christian church in the world. Write for our May packet, my book, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. In the packet, we will include a few other items, our literature list, and so on. No charge, free and postpaid to you when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that address in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.